أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Welcome to a new episode of our Tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 87 of the Quran, which is the fifth juz, Surah An-Nisa. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a number of verses concerning the people of the scriptures, those people who were given revelations before us as Muslims, and the way that they responded in terms of their disobedience, in terms of their rejection, in terms of the way that they would disrespect and disparage that which Allah azza wa jalla had given to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Allah azza wa jalla does not forgive the sin of shirk, and Allah may forgive anything other than that to whomsoever He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that means, that Allah forgives anything else to whomsoever He wills, meaning for the people who are upon tawheed. Because if Allah does not forgive shirk for a person, then surely Allah azza wa jalla will not forgive those people for any other sins, because that shirk is enough for them to enter into the fire. But a person upon tawheed, they have sins, they have major sins and wrongs that they did. Allah forgives to whomsoever He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The caveat in all of those scenarios is, so long as they don't make tawbah. For the one that makes sincere tawbah, Allah azza wa jalla forgives them. So for the disbeliever, their sincere tawbah is to accept Islam and accept tawheed. And for the believer, the one who commits major sins, it is to turn back to Allah azza wa jalla and repent and seek forgiveness from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we begin with verse number 51, and it is similar in terms of the context is still the same, and the passages are still speaking about the same issues. And verse number 51 is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا. Do you not see how those given a share of the scripture now believe in idols and evil powers? They say of the disbelievers, they are more rightly guided than the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous episode as well, and in this episode we will see as well, on a number of occasions now Allah azza wa jalla said to us, Alam tara, do you not see? Meaning, do you not reflect? And as we said in the previous episode, this is important, because when Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to us as Muslims, as people who believe in the Quran, who accept the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you not see? Meaning, will you not reflect? Will you not think about this? And that is because those people that Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about were also given scripture, also had prophets that was sent to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it Musa alayhi salam, be it Isa alayhi salam. They were given revelation and prophethood, just as we have the Quran and we have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that in and of itself isn't necessarily enough. If a person doesn't believe, if a person doesn't strive against shaitan, if a person doesn't persevere and have determination to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stick to the halal and stay away from the haram, it's not enough that you are amongst those people, that you happen to be just born a Muslim, or that you have a Muslim name, or that your culture happens to be a Muslim culture. It's not necessarily enough. Because had it been enough, surely it would have been enough for the Jews and the Christians and those other nations as well. And so here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying another example of this. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. Will you not look at, will you not see, will you not reflect upon those who were given a share of their scripture? Meaning that they were given revelation before us. يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت. They believe in idols, they believe in evil powers. The word طاغوت refers to anything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any type of shirk, any type of worshipping, associating partners with Allah azza wa jal, all of those false gods and deities, all are called طاغوت. All of them are طاغوت. And Allah azza wa jal mentions this in a number of places in the Quran, as we have mentioned already, for example in Surah Al-Baqarah and so on. And that is the term, therefore, ta'ghut refers to all of these false gods. So someone may worship a prophet of Allah, another person may worship a stone, another person may worship a saint, another person may worship an animal, another person may worship some type of nature or natural being, whatever it may be. Anything and everything that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, that is therefore a false god and deity, in Arabic it is called ta'ghut. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that these people were given revelation, a share of the scripture. What does the scripture call to? First and foremost, the tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped alone without partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning these people, they believe in taghut, they believe in all of these false gods, and they believe in al-jibt. And al-jibt is anything which is an evil power that helps a person to turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. So for example, fortune telling, for example, sorcery. These are types and examples of al-jibt. This is what they engage in. So rather than sticking to their scriptures and the central message of Tawheed and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, they turned away. As Allah mentioned, as we said in the previous verse, in the previous episode, they yashtarun al-darara. They purchase misguidance and they want misguidance for others as well. And so what do? وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا السَّبِيلًا. And because of the way that they are, because of their worship of the Taghut, because of the way that they believe in their false ideologies and so on, and they say of the disbelievers, they are more rightly guided than the believers. Because this is how they have now assessed things. This is the way that they consider that a person should be upon. So they consider everything therefore that is unbecoming, unbefitting for a believer. So they consider the way of the disbelievers, which is everything which is unbecoming of the believer, to be more rightly guided, to be better and more straight, meaning on the straight path, than the way of the believers. And that is because of the way that shaitan has come and corrupted the way that they think. And that is the danger of shaitan. That is the trap of shaitan. Shaitan comes with a small thing, and then over time it continues and increases and increases and increases until there is nothing left of the remnants of the tawheed that those people had. Just look at Quraysh. Quraysh, we can trace back their ancestry. We can trace back their original religion that they should have been upon, all the way back to Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. Didn't the Quraysh still have Hajj and the Kaaba and Zamzam and Arafah and Mina and Muzdalifah? These are remnants from the times of the religion of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. But Shaitan came and he entered upon them idolatry and idol worship and the false gods that they believed in besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he twisted every aspect of their religion to the extent that even the one thing that they still kind of held onto, which is the pilgrimage and the Hajj and the Kaaba, even that's twisted. So they have people making tawaf naked. You have certain acts that the Quraysh are not willing to do, such as going out to Arafah, and certain things that they changed even in the one thing that they still had kind of held onto. And that is what Shaitan does. He corrupts, he changes, he distorts, so that person, even though they think, and that is one of his traps, that they continue to think that they're upon good, that they're worshipping Allah, that they're worshipping something that is close to what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. But in reality, it is far distant and far removed from that which Allah Azza wa Jal commanded. And that is the trap of Shaitan. And so here, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying the same thing. So therefore, a person always needs to be wary and careful of the traps of Shaitan, especially when it comes to acts of worship. How many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Islam across the Muslim world today are engaged in acts of kufr, of disbelief and bid'ah innovation under the guise of it being something which is good, something which is righteous, something which is an act of worship? So even an act of worship, meaning generally speaking, it could be called or have the label of prayer or fasting or charity or dhikr or some type of pilgrimage. But in reality, when you look down into the detail, it is not what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded or legislated. And that is extremely dangerous. And so the Muslim has to be someone who's sure of their religion, constantly studying and learning, ensuring that what they are doing in terms of their worship, in terms of their belief, it is what Allah commanded in the Quran, what the Prophet commanded sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his sunnah. So Allah Azza wa Jal says concerning these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَمَن يَلْعَنِ اللَّهُ فَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. In verse number 52, those are the ones that Allah has cursed, and indeed you will not find anyone to help those that Allah Azza wa Jal has cursed. Allah cursed them because they turned away. And the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we've said before, is to be removed from the mercy of Allah. And once a person is removed from the mercy of Allah, there is nothing for them except the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says those who are cursed in this situation will have no helper besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 53, Allah Azza wa Jal then continues and he says, أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُلْكِ فَإِذَا لَّا يُؤْتُونَ النَّاسَ نَقِيرًا. Do they have any share of what he possesses? If they did, they would not give away so much as the groove of a date stone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they have a portion of what Allah possesses of His kingdom? Meaning why, as Allah Azza wa Jalla saying this and the next couple of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people rejected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They rejected the guidance that he brought. And they considered him, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unworthy of being chosen as Allah's Prophet and Messenger. They said, why weren't we prophets and messengers? Or what we have is enough, or what we are is sufficient, or we are the chosen, beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these different claims that they make, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to them, أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Do you own the kingdom of Allah, the dominion of Allah, that you choose what goes to whom? You are the ones who possess all of the shares, and so you are the ones who distribute them. Do you have any portion of Allah's kingdom or dominion? فَإِذَا لَا يُؤْتُونَ النَّاسَ نَقِيرًا. And even if you did, then you would never give anything away. Because that is the nature of humans. That the nature of humans is that they are people who hoard, people who are miserly, people who want to keep everything to themselves. If Allah Azza wa Jalla had given them the choice to find the one who was most worthy of prophet or the messengership, they would have said it is us and kept it with themselves even if they were unworthy. And so they are not befitting of this station, let alone befitting of the kingdom and the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 54, continuing on this, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Do they envy people for the bounty that Allah has granted them? We gave the descendants of Ibrahim the scripture and wisdom, and we gave to them a great kingdom. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, is it because of your envy, your jealousy, from that which Allah has given to His bounty to other people? So they were jealous of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the people of the scripture, that Allah chose him and made him a messenger of Allah outside of Bani Israel and the children of Israel, that Allah chose someone from outside of their nation, outside of their people, to be the greatest and most beloved of his prophets to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or the Quraysh, a similar example, where they considered themselves to be more worthy as individuals because of their wealth, because of their status, because of their fame, because of their power, wherever it may be, they considered themselves as individuals, as men, to be more worthy of the station of being a prophet, a messenger of Allah, than our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسِ. Is it because of the envy that they feel, the jealousy that they have in their hearts for the bounty that Allah gave to other than them? فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that indeed we gave to Ibrahim and his descendants the book, meaning the scripture, وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and wisdom, and we gave to them مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا, we gave to them a great kingdom. We know that every prophet that came after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is from his progeny, is from his children, and included from them is our own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And amongst them are those who were given kingdom as well, like Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi wasalam. Not only are they prophets of Allah, but they were kings and rulers, people that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them power and wealth upon the land as well. And they were from amongst them prophets who were not given those things. But Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to whomsoever He wills, or gives to whomsoever He wills, that which He pleases. And then you have our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was given the greatest of honors by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 55, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. But some of them believed in it and others turned away from it. Indeed, how fire blazes fiercely enough. Meaning some believed in it, meaning the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them believed in the bounty that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to him, and so they accepted him as the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. They obeyed him and they believed in him and they listened to him and they followed his way sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we see in the example of the many companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed them in righteousness and goodness and belief. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْ. But there were many others who turned away from the time of Quraysh, the people of Mecca, and then the other Arabs, and those who followed on their path today until today. We are separated into these two groups: those who understand and believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who turn away from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and how fire is enough of a blazing fire for those who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reject the revelation and the prophets that Allah azza wa jalla has sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 56 and 57, now speaking about that issue of reward and punishment, those who turn away and those who believe, those who accept and those who reject. Allah azza wa jalla speaks about the punishment of those who reject first in verse number 56. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. We shall send those who reject our revelations to the fire. When their skins have been burned away, we shall replace them with new ones so that they may continue to feel the pain. Indeed, Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse concerning the punishment of those people who reject and turn away. Allah azza wa jal says that they will be guided towards the fire. Nuslihim nara. We will lead them towards the fire. And that will be their punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is where they will reign or reside therein for eternity. Throughout the Quran, Allah azza wa jal then gives to us descriptions of that punishment in terms of the food of the people of the fire, the drink of the people of the fire, the way that the fire encompasses them, how they will live and reside in the fire. And this is an example of that. And it is one of the most graphic examples of the punishment of the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُرُودُهُمْ. Every single time their skin is melted and burned away, because that fire is extremely fierce. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was comparing the fire of this world to the fire of the next life, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the fire of this dunya is one of 70 parts of the fire of the next life. 1/70th, meaning the fire of Yawm al-Qiyamah burns 70 times stronger, more fiercer than the fire of this dunya. And we all know what a fire can do in this world, how it can destroy and burn and decimate everything in its path. We've seen those pictures of wildfires and the way that they destroy forests. We've seen the way fires go through a house and buildings. We've seen the way fire can encompass and consume everything that is in its path by Allah's permission. Now imagine that 70 times stronger, 70 times more fierce, 70 times more ferocious, 70 times greater in terms of its burning power. That is what the people of the fire will have. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُرُودُهُمْ. So every single time that they are burned, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that it's not only the external things that are burned, internally as well, elsewhere in the Quran. So what they eat, what they drink, what they consume inside, it burns. But the physical, outer stuff burns as well. Their skins will burn and they will melt away. And a person will think that once that flesh has burned and gone, that's it, it's done. But Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We will continue to replace their skin and their flesh with new flesh and skin. So it's not the end, but as we know, it is a recurring, continuous punishment until all of eternity. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We will give to them new skin, new flesh, so that it will burn again. And when it burns, it will be replaced a third time, and a fourth, and so on, and so forth. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So that they may continue to taste the punishment, that they may continue to experience that pain that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed upon them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. For indeed Allah is Almighty, and He is All-Wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 57, Allah Azza wa Jal then gives to us the glad tidings and the rewards of those who believe, those who accept, those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. As for those who believe and do good deeds, we shall admit them into gardens graced with flowing streams, and there they will remain forever. They will have pure spouses there, and we shall admit them into cool, refreshing shade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Iman, the people of righteous deeds, the people of belief, the people who accepted what the Prophet brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obeyed him, they will enter into Jannah. gardens under which rivers flow, and they will remain therein forever. Just as the people of the fire remain therein forever, the people of Jannah also remain therein forever. لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. They will have pure spouses. So the people of Jannah, as we know, Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove from them everything from this life that was considered to be impure, that was considered to be filthy. So they will not need to go to the bathroom and urinate or defecate, akramakumullah. They will not become ill and sick in the way that people in this life become ill and sick. They will not become frail and old and infirm in the way that people do in this life sometimes. All of those things that are weaknesses, they will be removed from the people of Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to them a life of goodness, a life of bliss, a life of enjoyment, a life of reward. لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. Everything in Jannah is pure, even their spouses. Everyone is pure, everything in Jannah is pure. وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. And they will have everlasting, cool, refreshing shade. And look at the juxtaposition, the distinction and the difference between what the people of the fire have, what the people of Jannah will have. The people of the fire will be in torment and burning, and they will continue to experience that burning forever. Whereas the people of Jannah are given shade, they are given respite, they are given coolness, they are given everything that they need in order to live a blissful existence by Allah's pleasure and by His command and His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 58, Allah Azza wa Jalla continues and He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah commands you to return things entrusted to you to their rightful owners. And if you judge between the people, to do so with justice. Indeed, Allah's instructions to you are excellent, for He hears and sees everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with a number of things here, that it is from the attributes of the believer, that the believer is someone who has integrity and is honest and truthful. And from that integrity is that they return the trusts that were given to them. So when you are entrusted with something, whatever that responsibility is, it may be a job, it may be a role that you play within your community and in your society, or it may be a physical trust that someone gives to you and says, look after this for me. I entrust you with this for your safe, in your safekeeping, that you will return it to me at some point. All of those types of trusts are things that the person should fulfill to the best of their ability. That is something which Allah Azza wa Jal loves. And that is because it is from the signs of hypocrisy that a person breaks that trust, that a person is entrusted with something that they accept, and that person then breaks the trust that they were given in the first place. That is something which is disliked amongst the disliked in Islam, and it is something which is from the ways of the hypocrites. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And if you are going to judge between people, then do it with justice. And that is that a person does it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't do it for any type of wealth or any type of worldly praise or accolade. They do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person who judges must be just. And if you cannot be just, or you have a vested interest, then you seek to recuse yourself, you apologize, you say, this isn't for me, you withdraw from that situation. But if you're going to judge, then you must be just. You must listen to both sides fairly, and you must weigh up what they bring to you to the table, and then you deal in that issue in a way that is fair and just. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal loves these two aspects. Number one, that a person has integrity, has truthfulness, has honesty, and number two, that they are fair and just. And both of these issues are linked with one another, and they are from the greatest of characteristics and attributes that a person can hold. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. Allah says that indeed what Allah instructs you with, guides you towards, reminds you of, it is from the most blessed and most excellent of affairs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. And remember that Allah knows and hears and sees everything that you do. In the final verse in today's episode, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 59,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. O you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and those in authority amongst you. And if you are in dispute over any matter, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. If you truly believe in Allah in the last day, that is better and fairer in the end.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us this amazing verse that is the principle and the, if you like, the bedrock of the way that the Muslim should be. The foundation of Islam is in these issues and affairs. Number one, the obedience of Allah. And number two, the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In everything that you do, obey Allah's commands, obey the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And number three, wa ulil amri minkum, those people that Allah has given authority over you. Allah Azza wa Jal, in society there are people who are given certain places of authority. Those people of authority have rights. And from those rights is that you obey them in that which they do, which is good. Who are those people of authority? The scholars said that there are two types of people when it comes to Muslims. Number one are the rulers. Those people have authority over you. You must obey them. Because what they decide and what they decree, it is for the benefit of the whole of the society. And so you must play your part. And that's why it is from the etiquettes of the Muslim and from the good points of Islam that you obey those people who are in charge of your affairs. And the rules that they place and the laws that they set, so long as that there are laws that are good and they are beneficial for the society, they are to be obeyed. And that's, for example, so when we are driving now, we have laws that determine the way that we drive, laws of road traffic management and so on. Those things must be obeyed because it is for the greater good of society. You can't come and say, you know, that it's not found in the Quran, it's not found in the Sunnah. It is found in the Quran and the Sunnah in this verse. Allah says, obey them. Those are the first group of people. And the second group of people, as the scholars of Tafsir said, are the scholars. Because they are the ones who instruct you in terms of your religion. They tell you what is halal and haram. They tell you what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to stay away from. And so therefore, in those affairs, you must obey them also because they're guiding you to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. And if you dispute, you don't know, you're going to disagree, then what do you do? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Turn it back to Allah, turn it back to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they are the ones who decide all affairs. Our religion is based upon those two sources primarily, the Quran and the Sunnah. So if there is a dispute, if there is something where we're unsure, if we don't know what is the correct path, we take it back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, if indeed you truly believe in Allah and the last day, that is better for you. And it is fairer in the end. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.